Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, here we are in our second hour. It's always a pleasure for me to welcome in-studio guests to change up the dynamic. And indeed, we have Reverend Ann Sawyer and Reverend Susan Anderson Smith with us today. Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Good morning, Zara.
We're wonderful.
We're great.
Thank you for having us.
You bet. Well, let me introduce my two colleagues here. Ann and Susan are the co-founders, religious and academic leaders of Imago Dei Middle School, which is a tuition-free private school serving low-income children in grades 5 through 8 here in Tucson. Imago Dei, meaning image of God, was established in 2005 in downtown Tucson as an integrative learning community to transform the lives of children so that they, too, can realize their dreams. And I have a hunch we're going to hear today how anyone who's involved in this organization is actually having their life transformed at the same time. Ann started her career in social services as a psychiatric technician upon graduation from U of A, following 5 years as an airline flight attendant in the early 90s and simultaneously earning a master's in social service administration. She worked for the Chicago Department of Board of Health, the Interface Council for the Homeless, and several children's hospitals before pursuing a master's in divinity from Harvard University. Now, Reverend Ann, Tucson beckoned in 2004. She returned to coordinate the initial feasibility study to establish Imago Dei and serve within two of the local Episcopal parishes as assistant rector or as priest. And today, she is full-time head of school. Susan, she's Dean of Students and Chaplain at Imago Dei and brings over 30 years of experience in youth ministry, education, and formation of her instruction in religion. She has a passion for combining liturgy, music, and arts. A native of Mississippi, Susan has lived and worked in Washington, D.C. and Boston, to come to Tucson then in 2000, where she served as Assistant Associate Rector for Youth Ministry and Community Development at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church. Susan holds a Bachelor of Arts in Psychology from the University of Mississippi and a Master's of Divinity from the Episcopal Divinity School in Cambridge, Massachusetts. So again, welcome, ladies. So glad to have you.
Thank you.
Very good. Well, let me start. Ann, could you tell our listeners about Imago Dei? Give us the high overview of that.
Thank you, Zara. Imago Dei Middle School is a private school. It's a tuition-free school for children who qualify for free and reduced lunch. We're grades 5, 6, 7th, and 8th, so mm-hmm. extended middle school. And we're designed to be small. We limit our classes, our grades, to 20 students per grade and a teaching ratio of 10 to 1.
10 to 1, great. And those students, now, so you started in 2005, so you have graduated classes then, haven't you?
We have. We actually opened our doors in 2006. We've had two graduating classes, 25 graduates, who attend a variety of both private as well as charter and public schools in Tucson now.
And so they're well into their high school careers. And if I recall, you have a couple that even now have graduated from high school or soon, right?
We will have our very first graduate this year who will be graduating from San Miguel High School. And we're so very proud of him. He has, as of this fall, full rides to the University of Arizona, as well as a couple schools on the Northwest, and would like to study medicine.
Isn't that great to watch that journey? And so, Susan, tell me the Imago Dei. It's an Episcopal school. So tell us about the faith-based approaches to that.
Well, the first clue you get is in the name Imago Dei, which means image of God. And that expresses our belief that all children, all people, are created in the divine image, however we understand God, and therefore are entitled to all of the rights of that divine birthright, meaning the ability to access whatever resources necessary to live into and attain that kind of potential. Faith-based for us means that we honor and respect the spiritual dimension of people, and we enroll students and we hire faculty of all faiths, that represent all faiths or none at all, because we believe that's just really important in the world that we live in today. We teach a lot about world religions in an effort to teach appreciation and respect for what people believe, even if it's something that we may not.
Yeah, that's great, and that's a beautiful gift to incite with children, particularly at these formative ages of middle school, when my daughter's about to, as we say at our house, we have a lot of itis going on. Senior itis for my son who's going to college next year, and eighth grade itis because she can't wait to get to high school. But there's that dynamic in that age group of trying to, you know, sort through so many different things, let alone their physical changes at the same time. To have that values-based anchor, I must see, is so very important.
Yes. Spirituality or faith is a part of who we are. It's an inextricable part of who we are, and we believe it's just really important to nurture and help form that as a way for children who are moving through these changes to have some kind of grounding, to have some place to go. Yeah. to support that.
But in addition to that, Anne, you might want to comment that, as we said, this is for low-income children, really, that their families, or even they're not having a family or a total family, are below the poverty level. So there is an element of catching the kids up, isn't there, when they join your programs?
Exactly. The only criteria is the economic qualification. So some of our children, not all, but some of them enter our school, Imago Dei, in fifth grade, a couple grade levels below where they should be. So it's really our goal during the course of those 4 years to close that gap. Mm-hmm. And to prepare them to really be accepted, to have a choice of schools in high school, to be accepted to some of the best schools throughout the city of Tucson, and to excel academically and to begin to live into their hopes and their dreams, kind of unleashing that potential within so that they can be their best selves. Mm-hmm. And so that we can benefit as well.
Well, you were on, as I said in your vitae, that you came to Tucson actually to be part of the whole conceptual study behind this. Would you have ever thought where you are in this change journey, Anya?
No. When Susan and I tell the story, Susan's the dreamer. Okay. And the visionary in terms of planting a school like this. We're modeled after a school in Boston called the Epiphany School. And there are actually 63 schools like us nationwide in 27 states, serving close to 5,000 children per year. And the model itself has been around for 40 years, but we're the only school of our kind in the state of Arizona, again, serving our children and providing this tuition-free quality education. So I returned to Tucson after having been away for 16 years, having lived in D.C. and Chicago and Boston before coming back home. And we were at an early stage. Susan had learned about the Epiphany School. She told me about it. She spoke with passion about the school in Boston, and I was in full support of her pursuing this dream of hers, not yet imagining myself being a part of the process. And yet, lo and behold, it drew upon a lot of my past experiences in the field of fund development and program development and research that allowed me to help form the foundation for Imago Dei. And then Imago Dei exists really for as a result of so many people who have come together to make this possible. I mean, without their support, it just wouldn't exist.
Isn't that something? So, Susan, had you had a firsthand experience with the Epiphany School, and it kind of planted a seed that said, someday I want to do this?
Actually, I wasn't really looking for an Epiphany School, and I wasn't really looking for education at all. In the early 90s, I think we could say that I was at least inspired, if not really, really transformed by my experience of being on faculty at the National Cathedral School for Girls in Washington, D.C. And I saw the transforming power of a quality education that was faith-based through the Episcopal tradition. And the question that I walked away from that experience with was, how can we make this affordable and accessible?
And accessible, yes.
To many more people. And I went on my merry way to seminary and was being trained to be a parish priest. And but yet, that the seed that was planted was the seed about education.
It was the question.
Yeah, it was the question. How do we do this? And then I came into contact with the Epiphany School in Boston, which did both things. It was an Episcopal school, quality education, but it was tuition-free. So it finally combined my love of education with the justice piece, which is serving all people.
Mm-hmm. And take us on a virtual tour of the school. What would we see if we came to visit?
Well, we've grown.
By the way, listeners are absolutely welcome to do that. They're located in downtown Tucson. So,
thank you. Zara, we've grown exponentially, and since we've opened in 2006, we actually opened with 5 children in the parish hall of St. Andrew's Episcopal Church. Having looked for a school home in the downtown area, and yet being small. And so over the course of the next 6 years, we then spent 4 years in a wonderful school home in the West University neighborhood. And then recently, as of a year ago, we were really invited by Fletcher McCusker of Providence Healthcare to move downtown. And we now occupy a beautiful school home. It was the former Sears Executive Building downtown right across from Ronstadt Station. We have 25,000 square feet. We operate at near capacity in terms of children in our classroom and a wonderful, dedicated group of teachers and staff that make Imago Day possible. So, yes, you're welcome.
And isn't it that typical that things expand to fit space available? So here you are. You've not only been there a year, and you're saying you're working at capacity space. So on to the next, I assume.
This, again, I mentioned that this school is designed to be small. So what happens, like, for example, in Boston, the school is replicated. So if the Tucson community really wanted to invest in this quality education, providing this opportunity for young people to really be their best selves, then eventually, if we had the resources, we would replicate the school versus expanding the school beyond its model.
Exactly. Susan, I understand the students recently won a regional competition in national architecture. So this is not a compromise situation. This is a competitive gang of kids. What's that? What was that all about?
Well, we've done this over several years. I think about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, we entered this competition first. We were invited to take a look at how to design a sustainable school of the future. And the first year we entered, we won state and regional, went to Washington, D.C., and they placed third. Well, that was not sufficient enough for them. So they entered the competition again a second year and took first place in the nation. Then we mentored a team from Ross Grudge after that, Ross Grudge Middle School, who went on to do very well in the national competition, took a year's break and came back. What is what I think speaks loudly about our students is that this year, because the charge is always the same, that you are to design a sustainable school of the future, but they had already designed their dream school 3 years ago, a school that we wish to see built here.
So just real, if I might interrupt, yeah. So what were some of the major attributes when we say the dream school? What was this?
It is to be built here in Tucson using the natural resources here, using sustainable elements like solar energy, pervious concrete, bamboo, all those kinds of things here in Tucson. And this year's entry actually is a school that the students did research on to be built in Niger.
Okay, exactly.
They wanted to do something to help an area in which education is difficult, if not impossible, to create a place, a school for children to be educated there.
That they even were able to see beyond whatever constraints they might feel here to realize that it's probably minuscule compared to other parts of the world.
So they researched natural resources there and have designed something that is even movable. Based
modular
on
modular school.
Mm-hmm. It's a modular school.
And again, for those who just have joined us, we're talking about middle school students here. Okay, these are not high school or college bound students. These are middle school kids. Yeah. When you say research, when you see the passion and connectedness to a community that they know and they want to impact beyond their own,
Absolutely.
It's so powerful.
It's very powerful.
And as you watch that competition now here multiple years in a row that have inspired the students, tell us about the influence that experience has had on your faculty, on parents or other staff to support their quest and that recognition.
Well, this competition actually exemplifies our very belief in our children. Children who knew virtually nothing about architecture, the science or the mathematics behind it, knew nothing about gathering and sustainability and thinking and dreaming about what their school buildings might look like, to go through that process of learning and research to then build upon their ideas from the previous year to build something new, and then to extend that to somebody else. It exemplifies our very belief that our children can accomplish great things, and that through a quality education, working together in partnership with many people, together they can be their very best, as well as they have so much to contribute to the broader community and to the world.
I think that use of the word community, some would use the word team, also project-based learning, then you're equipping the children at such a young age to understand critical problem solving. Yes. Not just, indeed, some of us have to go through the rote memorization and math tables and so on and so forth, but still it's that bigger component of how this fits into day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm.
Susan, your own experience with other educational backgrounds and working with youth, how has this experience with Imago Dei been different?
I think that for me, it's been different because it gives me an opportunity to see a huge transformation, how education in particular, and this particular model, transforms hearts and minds.
Mm-hmm.
It brings home to me that every child has the potential. Every single child has a genius.
Mm-hmm.
And our job is to call that genius out, to nurture it, to name it, to proclaim it, and to have it see life. And that's what this model does.
That model and even other things we've talked about on this show about helping children understand what their true gifts and passions are so they can pursue and follow that.
Absolutely.
And not get stuck in the, well, you have to be a this or you should be a that.
Or to get stuck in impediments mm-hmm. to that. You know, our job is to remove those impediments that through no fault of their own, they may be dealing with in life, to remove those so that they can get about the task of becoming learners and becoming empowered and becoming in charge of their own lives.
One of the disadvantages of radio, of course, is our listeners can't see my guest's eyes. And I am just dumbstruck at the power and the light in both of your eyes as you talk about this school and the passion around that. So let me go to that question I usually ask at the end, but I don't want to run out of time. But to both of you, Anne, maybe we'll start with you. How do you think you've changed in the process of guiding the change for the students, for Imago Dei, and what you see going forward? You personally, how do you think you've changed, Anne?
Well, which is so often true in life, my life has been touched by the children who have come into our school and through our parents who have committed themselves to providing the very best quality education for their children. And so it's taken me in a direction that I had never imagined, and I will never be the same as a result of the many people who have committed themselves vocationally to working to bring about these changes in the lives of our children and in the lives in all of our lives together as a whole. And for that, I will be deeply grateful to each and every one of them as I stand and watch them go forth and graduate from high school and go on to college and to have a rich and a full life. And that is a reward in and of itself that is priceless.
It'll be interesting to see 10 years from now how many of your graduates will actually be part of one of the Imago Dei type schools around the nation. You never know. Susan, yourself, how do you think you've changed guiding the change here?
I was just thinking about the word hope. I These children teach me about that. They give me hope. I sleep better at night, mm-hmm. knowing that they're in the world.
Because of the leadership they're going to take on,
yes.
in other words. Yeah.
Yes. You know, they're my heroes. They teach me about courage and perseverance and doing what it takes to get things done. I think they've made me more patient, more grateful, more faithful.
Yeah, beautiful. In fact, I noticed that on your website, one of the areas I was reading, by the way, you can learn more about it. It's Imago Dei, I-M-A-G-O-D-E-I, school.org. That one of the statements said, our children, families, teachers, and staff are dedicated to transforming the world in which we live through education. Now, most people expect to read on a website, you know, what they glean from it, not necessarily what they glean out from it. So I think that's well put and right to both what you have said, the honor and the opportunity you have as leaders in this organization. The other thing I pick up, and we say it always, my husband and I do, for how we've invested with our family, fortunately, is that education is the one gift you can't take away from a child. You just can't. And so for all the other stuffism that's out there, you know, the reading of that book to the child or the giving them a chance to work on a project and what they take away, that is very, very compelling, isn't it?
It is. Mm-hmm. The students probably have numbered this particular sermon that I give to them, but it's a sermon about the power of education, and that power can never be taken away, no matter what else can be taken away. That cannot.
Yeah, very well put. And briefly, just to inform our listeners, it's an extended day school, right? 10 hours a day, if I understand correctly?
6 days a week, 11 months out of the year. So we operate through the end of June, close for the month of July, and we reopen in August. And we're now accepting applications for next year.
That's great. It's 6 days a week.
6 days, half day on Saturday.
Half day on Saturday. So I suspect that with that, there's a huge fun component of this. In the mix of the education, isn't it?
It's all inclusive. We spend about $15,000 per child per year. But if you take into consideration all of the hours, both the academic as well as the enrichment opportunities that are provided, and the partnerships with the University of Arizona and with Arizona Theater Company and with a myriad of other organizations, it's really quite a wise investment of resource.
You got it. Beautiful. And then also, I know in reading beyond tuition education that you also are part of addressing any social and medical issues that might interfere with the children as well. Susan, do you want to comment on that briefly?
That just kind of looping back to the impediments that we were talking about. Yes, we try to address whatever things seem to be standing in the way of a child's realizing this potential. So social services, medical, mental health, any sorts of things that we can address.
Wonderful. Well, I had said in the introductions, given the breadth of career experiences you both have enjoyed and now coupled together, one thing I would mention is be forewarned, folks, if you invite either of these two ladies, that you're going to deal with some of the best advocates, fundraisers, you know, and hospitality in the mix. So I wish the two of you and the extended community at Imago Dei Middle School, thank you for what you're doing for our children, for our community, and also congratulations to them. I'll say it in advance of what they're going to gift the world as they go forward.
Thank you,
Thank
Sarah.
You
Great.
So
it's
much.
A real pleasure.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.